Hey, what's going on? Welcome to The Camera Adds 10 Pounds. That's right, I'm your host, Peter Sirs. What's up? What are we listening to, Peter? Why, this is Kingdom by Downstate. Cody Rhodes' entrance music. Yes, that's right. Anyway, what's going on? We gotta get the. This is the part where he comes out the ring, looks into the crowd, and he's like, smiles, and he gets down on one knee, gives a little fist bump to the floor as if I'm happy to be here, and then everybody in the audience at the same time goes, whoa. All right, you guys, what's going on? Welcome to The Camera Adds 10 Pounds. That's right. I'm your host, Peter Sirs. What's up? And before we start, as you guys know, this podcast is brought to you by my good friends at theperfectshaker.com. I've probably said this, I don't know, how many episodes is this? 180 or something? 180 times. Perfect Shaker, they have all of your fitness accessory needs. If you have a fitness lover in your life like me, or if you are the fitness lover in your life, go to perfectshaker.com. They got the best shaker cups. They've got the best workout towels. They got meal prep bags, meal prep containers, wrist straps. They have clothes you could personalize, you know, all sorts of stuff. Do yourselves a favor. Go to perfectshaker.com, enter the promo code 10 pounds, the word 10, the word pounds, you'll save 15% off of your order. And as always, this podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Bucked Up Supplements. That's right, you guys. I'm about to be 45 fucking years old in a few weeks, which is interesting to say. I'll be honest, it's interesting. But I take a lot of Bucked Up Supplements, and I'll be honest, I'm pretty jacked right now. So if that's something that you're interested in, if you want to lose weight, if you want to gain muscle, if you want to run endurance events, if you just want to maintain overall health, do yourselves a favor. Go to Bucked Up Supplements, enter the promo code 10 pounds, the number 10, the word pounds, and you will save 20% off of your order. Okay. God, you guys, it doesn't matter. You guys don't care. You guys just want to know that I'm here right now. It's been a few weeks since I have been here, and I'm going to be honest, I don't know where the time goes, but I realized that the last time I was here was right before WrestleMania. So we got so much wrestling and stuff to talk about. My Dodgers are doing well. They had a shit week, which probably contributed to me not being here. No, I'm just kidding. It's been nonstop on the road, and it's been great. It's been, oh gosh. So since I saw you last, I spent I had a weekend where I had a wedding and WrestleMania and stuff, so that was a thing. And then after that, I went to Phoenix, Arizona, and headlined at JP's Comedy Club. And then last weekend, I was in Dallas. And this weekend, I actually got to relax because I was supposed to run a marathon on Sunday. I had been training for it, as you guys know, and then I fucked up my back at some point when I was in Texas. So, yeah, gonna have to push that back a little bit. I'm not really sure when I'm gonna be able to run one. So I'm just, you know, I ran 18 miles. I know you're like, if you run 18, why can't you run 26? Honestly, it was a really bad 18, but I just wanted to see how far I could go. But that was about as far as I could go. So it is what it is. But that's why I ended up being home this weekend. Let's just start. We'll start with the last few weekends. So I went to Arizona, headlined JP's Comedy Club, and thanks for anyone that came out that's listening to this now. I don't really, you know, it's a fault of mine, but whenever I go and I do stand up, I'm so focused on just getting out as much stuff as I can in the time that I'm on stage, whether I'm doing, you know, 20 minutes or 30 minutes or 45 or an hour. Like, I'm just trying to squeeze in as much time as I can get because I have so much material. And, you know, I'll go back, you know, like I had a show this past week at the Ontario Improv that a lot of you guys came out to. And, you know, I knew I was going to do about an hour, and I did. And I kind of like switched up my hour, like, compared to how I usually do it and what I did that night. And because I kind of switched the order of things, I forgot some things. And every time I do like a set, you know, I always forget. Like, there's just always certain things I forget, and it's frustrating for me because I have all this, you know, stuff that I've written that I like to tell, and then I just forget about it. It's like, fuck, dude. But it's also partially, I think that's good that there's things I forget, because it shows that I'm in the moment when I'm on stage, which I think helps allow me to be more free. It's more liberating to do it that way for me, but also it just kind of, you know, I'm playing off of the crowd sometimes and whatnot. Like, and I think comedy is best when, you know, there's this whole thing, and I think I've talked about it on here, but, you know, this whole kind of culture of comedy now where everyone wants to do crowd work, you know, where you're talking to people and you're making something funny out of, you know, talking to people in the audience. And then what happens is you got, you know, comedians like Matt Rife who kind of blew up by doing stuff like that. But then what happens is you have people who come to shows expecting to be part of the show. And that's not why I'm up there, dude. I'm not going up there to fucking talk to people. Oh, so what do you do for a living? Oh, I don't fucking care. All I care about is going up there, making those people laugh, making them laugh so much or relate to me so much or both that they want to follow me on social media afterwards so I can get more followers, because followers are currency. And then maybe they'll buy stuff off of me. Like, those are my concerns. I'm not trying to fucking talk to you and get some viral clip. Like, a viral clip would be great, but I'll be honest, I posted hundreds of clips that should have gone viral and none of them have. So that to me is just, I don't care. If it happens, it happens. I'm just going to keep doing the work. I know what I can do on stage. I know that I'm funny as fuck. Like, the proof is in every fucking where I go, and I do well, and people buy my shit. You know, like, that's all the proof I need. Would it be great to go viral? Of course. Like, I'd be rich. But, you know, it just hasn't happened yet for a number of reasons. I don't know why. I think that some of my content gets, I know. I know that when I talk about certain topics, YouTube is not going to show them to as many people. Same with Instagram, same with really all of the platforms. When I touch on certain topics, even though it's a hilarious bit and the crowd is clearly laughing hysterically in the bit's going to get censored. It's just the way it is. And until I have a bigger following, it's going to keep happening. So it is what it is. But my point I don't even know what my point was. Went to Arizona, had great shows. Like I said, thanks to everybody that came. Shout out to Linda and John for coming out. They were on the podcast. I wanted to have them on. I had no time when I was in Phoenix. It was just like I got there, and it was like I worked out and I ate barbecue, and before I knew it, it was like that first day was gone. Second day I had to run, I think I ran 14 miles the second day, and then that took up a good portion of my day because it just fucking killed me, because it was kind of hot and I hadn't ran in heat in a minute. And then that was kind of the weekend. Then I came back home and I was like, shit, dude, like, what happened to my weekend? So I meant to have them on the podcast again so we could talk about, you know, more witch related things, but it didn't work out. So hopefully, I don't know when I'm going to be back in Phoenix, but, you know, we'll make it work at some point. But anyway, Phoenix isn't one of my favorite cities, I'll be honest. And it wasn't even that hot. Like, you know, Phoenix can get really hot, but just the fact that I got to headline a comedy club, and, you know, I can't tell you guys enough, you know, as you guys have been listening, you know that I'm starting to headline more. So, you know, my career is, you know, continuing to be on an upward trajectory, which is great. That's what we want. And sometimes it's still like, I think I have a little bit of imposter syndrome, or like, I was just talking about it to somebody this past weekend, but it's like when a club tells me they're booking me as a headliner, in the back of my mind, I'm like, wait, really? Like, really? You're going to book me as a headliner? Like, it's almost like I'm surprised, and I shouldn't be, because that's how it's supposed to be. But like, you know, like I'm not a big name. I'm not a draw. And so the fact is I'm getting these jobs strictly based on merit and maybe, you know, potentially in some cases relationships that I've built with, you know, these bookers or these comedy clubs, and it's a great feeling, you know, to get booked to headline. Like, that's the end goal. I mean, the end goal for me is Dodger Stadium, fucking, that's the end goal for me. But, you know, when you start, you know, there's not really a clear path. At least, like, I mean, you kind of know, but, like, you don't know how to go about doing it, what shows you're supposed to be doing, which mics you're supposed to be going to, you know, should you be kissing ass to people, you know, all these things. And, like, yes, you should be kissing ass to people. I don't, but that's what you should be doing. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it feels great to get some of these gigs, and it's not from kissing ass. It's just from me doing the work. And even though my path has taken longer than some people that might, you know, get lucky and blow up a lot sooner, I know I didn't have to sell my soul. I know I didn't have to kiss ass, suck up to somebody to, like, hope that they brought me along. Like, I'm doing it on my own, dude, like, with very little help. And you know why that doesn't mean a lot to some people? Like, it means a lot to me to know that, you know, it's been mostly on my own. But anyway, I did have fun. You know, the crowds in Arizona are always fun. You kind of can say whatever you want, you know. No one's going to get super offended. I didn't get into it. Didn't piss anybody off. And, you know, that was that. So that was great. And then, you know, last weekend I was in Dallas. And that's a whole thing altogether that I guess I can get into. Not naming names, but the headliner that I opened for that weekend, kind of a piece of shit, cut my time. And I'll tell you this, a lot of times, you guys, clubs might cut time of somebody and give more time to somebody else because the person is not doing very well. I'll have you know that was not the case. Okay, I had a show Thursday night, and none of the comics were doing well. It was a really bad show, and I was just like, fuck, dude. And I was the last comic that night. I got to go up there and, you know, do something. It's just like, god damn it, dude, you know. But the crowd was being weird, and I went up there, and I fucking crushed it. And I was like, I don't know what was going on before, but I was a little, and I said it, I'll probably never post it, but, you know, I went up there, and I was like, you know, this show has been really weird. The crowd's been really weird, and I don't know what was going on, but I came up here and I crushed it, so whatever, you know, and everyone's like, yeah, you know, so don't know, comedy is subjective, sometimes, you know, maybe don't fucking talk to the audience and try to do crowd work, just do your fucking material, because this is the thing, like, and I talked about it, but, like, there's a lot of comics now, because they want to go viral with some crowd work clip, they go up there, and instead of doing material, they start talking to people, oh, so what's your deal, how long have you guys been together, and they try to make something funny happen, and then it doesn't, and now you've wasted 2 or 3 minutes of your set trying to fucking do bullshit, and then the crowd's weird because you weren't making them laugh, and then you wonder why the crowd's weird, it's because you fucking made them weird, the host came out and was fucking weird and doing that and it's just like, no, dude, when I used to host, you know, when I used to MC a lot, I would go out there and I say, fuck the crowd work, dude. I'm coming out there and I'm doing my fucking material. I only have 10 minutes up here or 12, maybe 15. Like, I'm coming out swinging. And if you don't like, you know, if you don't like it, that's on you. And these people, like, I see it and it's just, man, I came out and I fucking crushed, dude, doing material. Okay. And then the next night, like I said, the headliner cut my time before we even started the show because he wanted to do an hour. But he could have still done an hour. He just wanted to be a fucking asshole. And I fucking crushed. And I sold all of my shirts that I took the first night, which never happens. And it kind of made me upset because I should have brought more shirts and I could have made more money, but it is what it is. But had a great time in Dallas. Got to hang out with my best friend and his family. Even though I was kind of like in and out, you know, going to the gym and he had to work and stuff. Just like any time with my friends is great, you know, especially my best friend, and got to see my godson. You know, they always let me stay at their house when I'm in Dallas, which helps out because the club wasn't putting us up, you know. So shout out to my buddy Eric Dunn. He's the best. Got to have some good barbecue. Hurtado's barbecue in Arlington, Texas is fucking bomb. I think I'm going to go just off the top of my head right now, you guys know I'm a fucking barbecue connoisseur. I think I'm going to go Terry Black's number one. That's in Austin. Love that one. Number two, I'm going to go with Hutchins Barbecue in Dallas, or McKinney, I guess that would be. Number three, I'm going to go with Hurtado's as number three. That's right there, like I said, in Arlington. Number four, I'm going to go with the place that I discovered in Austin this past summer, which is called Styles and Switch, which was really fucking good. Really good. Really good. I can't tell you enough how good it was. And the number five, I've got to go with a tie between Bledsoe's Barbecue and Speakeasy Barbecue. Bledsoe's is in LA and Speakeasy is in Norco. Those are my top five right now, to be honest. Yeah. So anyway, had some great barbecue in Dallas. Fell in love in Dallas. Wait, did I say that? Oh man. I can't. I don't want to say I fell in love, but you know, it's one of those things where, like, every time I go somewhere, I feel like I meet somebody. Not every time, but, like, you know, I've met some pretty great women over these last few months, which is great. I love that part of it, but this person's a little bit different. We share a common we share a person. I'm not going to give too much away, but let's just say that I met a person and she's great, and I do not have any idea of how she feels about me at all. Nothing happened other than us hanging out a couple times, but yeah. In my mind, I'm like, I would marry this girl for sure. And I don't really, you know, like, do that when I just meet somebody. Like, yeah, like, after dating for a while and whatever, you're like, okay. But to think that after just hanging out with someone, you know, for a few hours, a couple times, like, I don't know. Will anything happen? Don't know. But I'd be a liar if I said I have not been able to stop thinking about her. But it is what it is. So that happened in Dallas also. you know, this is what I covered mainly on my other podcast, but I went to the Pop 2000 concert, in Corpus Christi, which is like 6 hours from Dallas. And I got to meet Chris Kirkpatrick of NSYNC, which was just, you know, can I just tell you guys, okay, like, these last few months of my life, aside from just the struggle of, like, continuing to scratch and claw and trying to work my way up in this fucking business with no help at all, like we've already talked about, and just, you know, really trying to get something to, like, you know, some kind of big break, I've had some amazing things happen over the last few months, and it's almost like, my life has been so fucked up, you guys. Like, from, like, you know, my whole life. You know, I'm talking, like, my entire life. From, you know, growing up in an abusive household. You know, being the victim of abuse from my dad. Physical. Not, like, he didn't fuck me, but, like, he beat the fuck out of me. You guys know that. I do not shy away from talking about that. You know, verbally abusing. Watching, you know, my mom get beat by my dad. And just all those things, like, that's just a lot for a kid to have to witness. And then obviously losing my mom, you know, my dad going to jail, prison, losing my grandma, losing, like, you know, getting evicted from our childhood home, you know, getting evicted from apartments, getting my car repossessed, like, getting my heart broken over and over again, and, you know, the pandemic and losing everything and having to be in Oklahoma and fucking just, you know, and getting broken up with again after coming back out here, and just so many things that, you know, I pat myself on the back because I honestly don't think that a lot of people could deal with what I've dealt with. I just don't. And, you know, the trauma never goes away. It's always in the back of your mind. But over the last few months, dude, like, aside from that, and, you know, like I said, you know, recovering from a broken heart and all those things, like, I've had so many amazing experiences, you know, from getting to headline, getting paid the most money I've ever gotten paid to headline or to do comedy for that matter, to, you know, some of the amazing places I've been to discovering mushrooms and, you know, amazing trips and getting to go to some of the most beautiful places in, you know, in the United States and getting paid to do that. And, you know, like I said, meeting people and, you know, meeting beautiful women in these places and getting to witness the NSYNC reunion and just, you know, going to opening day a few weeks ago and just like, and, you know, getting to see Shohei Ohtani and just, you know, just all these, like, great things. It's like one after another. And then I continued to book work. And it's just like, you know, a part of me, you know, is just like, man, like, do I, like, when great things happen to me, I'm just like, do I deserve this? Like, I really do think that sometimes because it's like, I mean, I try to be a good person, but I'm not the best person. But it's like, yeah, I do deserve some of these things to happen to me. And it's okay to have something great happen and be like, yeah, like, I deserve this. You know, there doesn't have to be a trade-off. Like, it could just be from all the hard work that you've put in and all the bad things that have happened to you for the world to finally be like, hey, here's some cool shit coming your way. And you're just like, thanks. So, again, I got to go down to Pop 2000. You know, I met Chris Kirkpatrick. And if you don't know who Chris Kirkpatrick is, he's the founding member of NSYNC. You know, got to do a little Q&A, ask him some questions about NSYNC. You know, told him about the podcast, which he shared on his Instagram. And just like, it's just so many things. And then, like I said, you know, I meet, you know, like, I mean, nothing may ever come out of it, but, like, you know, meeting someone that I'm like, I could marry this person, like, that's kind of a big step, because I don't know if I've ever actually met a person that I just felt like, oh yeah, I'm gonna marry this person, like, upon meeting them. Like, you know, obviously, like, you meet hot people and you're like, oh my god, and it's just like, it wasn't that. Like, I mean, this girl's beautiful, but, like, it was, I don't know, it's just like a feeling of familiarity. You know, she's funny, she's smart, she's just super fun to be around, but also really pretty. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. Like I said, will anything ever happen? I don't know. I hope so, but it is what it is. I'm going to keep doing me. I started following my gym crush on Instagram. She followed me back. This is a completely different person, by the way. You know, like, this little, it's just like, oh man, it's like, it's cool things happening. And but like I said, it's not from lack of, like, putting in work and just trying to make things happen. You know, sometimes that shit just finally pans out, you know. So had a great time in Dallas. Like I said, one of the best weekends I've had in a while, and I've had some great weekends. That's the thing, you know. And I'll be in, where will I be next week? I'll be in Tucson, Arizona next weekend at Laughs Comedy Club, Friday and Saturday, the 3rd and 4th of May. And then Friday and Saturday, May 10th and 11th, I'll be down in San Diego at Comedy Heights. So yeah, come to those if you are in Tucson or if you're in San Diego. If you're not in those places, maybe don't come. Do you know what I mean? And then the week after, I'm in Boise on May 17th, Boise, Idaho. That's at the Voodoo Comedy Cellar in Boise. And then May 18th, I'm going to be in Post Falls, Idaho, somewhere. I doubt any of you are listening that live near Post Falls. So, and I can't even think off the top of my head where the show is. I just know that it's in Post Falls. Okay, cool. Good talk. awesome. Great. Glad we had that talk. I'll be honest. Yeah, let's just get into, we'll talk about Dodgers a little bit and we'll finish with wrestling today. How about that? So the Dodgers, as it stands right now, took 2 out of 3 against the Blue Jays, finishing the week and today 18-12. They are 4 games up on the Padres, but the Padres are playing, so they could be 4.5 or 3.5. But, you know, they kind of hit a little skid for a couple weeks, and yet they're still 4 games ahead. So, you know, they go on a, 6-game winning streak that just came to an end on Sunday. They got a big series coming up with the Braves this week. They're going to Arizona. I was going to go to the game since I'm going to be in Arizona anyway this weekend. But the series ends on Wednesday, so I would mean I have to go to Arizona on Wednesday and then stay Wednesday and Thursday. It's just like, I don't want to spend more time in Arizona than I have to, if I'm being honest. Is that too honest? I don't fucking care. so that's that. You know, it's crazy because the Dodgers have just all these dudes like, you know, Shohei is hitting well, and it's just kind of been like an afterthought because Mookie Betts is hitting 387. You know, Will Smith is hitting 367. Like, you got guys, you got some guys that are not doing well. James Outman, Gavin Lux, but they brought up Andy Pages. He's doing well. Like, you know, I'm not worried about the Dodgers pitching staff. Tyler Glasnow is as advertised. Yamamoto has a good outing and he has a bad one, or he doesn't have an awful one. Walker Buehler's coming back. You know, Bobby Miller's been solid. Hasn't quite been. He's had a couple games where we're like, oh shit, Bobby Miller is literally gonna win the fucking Cy Young. And then he has some games where you're like, anyway, but he's on the, he went on the IL with inflammation. So I, you know, never really know what the, I mean, inflammation can mean a million things. I think it's just, what they use to manipulate the roster and bring somebody else up, go with a 6-man, give people an extra day of rest. The Dodgers are all about, we've already talked about this. I mean, at least on my other Dodger podcast, but the Dodgers, because of how they run this team, based largely on analytics and whatnot, they have the exact recipe on how to do well over the course of a 162-game season. You know, they will use roster call-ups and, like I said, IL visits and whatnot to their advantage to, you know, to preserve players so that people don't get worn out down the stretch. Because, for, you know, at the end of the day, the Dodgers, you know, yes, you want to do well in the regular season, but as we've all learned, that doesn't mean shit. What's done is in October is what matters, and they have to have a recipe to have their guys ready for October and ready to play in October, and they haven't quite done that the last few years. So hopefully they figure it out because, they, like I said, they have the 162-game recipe figured out. It's the playoffs that they need to figure out. But anyway, Bobby Miller's on the IL, but Dodgers are going to be fine whether they hit skids or not. You know they're going to finish in first place, just a matter of how many games ahead and whatnot, but the real measurement is going to be what they do in October. So, like I said, D-backs in Arizona Monday through Wednesday, and then a big series with the Braves in LA this weekend. Very excited about that. That'll be a good measuring stick. Anyway, so WrestleMania, dude. You know, I talked about it. That's why I played Kingdom at the beginning of the podcast. My boy Cody Rhodes finally finished his story. What a great, you know, just story of someone who, like I said, bet on themselves, you know, left a lot of money on the table to leave WWE,
and then go off and wrestle in all the independents and build a name and then kind of help, you know, lay the foundation for AEW with the Young Bucks, and, you know, got to the point where he was able to leverage all of that and come back to WWE and essentially has become the face of the WWE. And so by doing that, finally getting to win the title that his dad, Dusty Rhodes, never got to win, and just watching how it all played out. Like, I mean, this has been a story that's been essentially written for 2 years. And if you watch wrestling, you know, it's, you know, so Cody came back 2 years ago at WrestleMania and he fought Seth Rollins, who, you know, the two did not mince words, you know, like they you know, it's funny when you watch wrestlers now, because, you know, I feel like in the old days, if a wrestler was on a talk show or something getting interviewed, they were still in character, right? And to an extent, some of them do still do that. But there are also interviews where they kind of get out of their wrestling character and are just themselves, you know? And, you know, might peel back the curtain a little bit and talk about certain things. And, you know, they've said in interviews, like, this is a couple years ago and whatnot, but, like, they respect each other and whatnot, but they would never be friends, you know, and don't really know why. You know, although Cody did say some things about WWE when he left, like, I mean, who knows, you know, but it was part of the story, because that same guy, Seth Rollins, ends up helping Cody essentially win the championship, and it becomes like a full circle thing. But like, to just see it all play out over the, I mean, the 2 year story, dude, like, think about, you know, your favorite television shows, you know, there's always an arc, you know, the season starts and there's a storyline and you end at the season, but there's not a ton of like stories that go for 2 years, and the story's not ending, just this part of the story. It's long-term storytelling, which is part of what makes wrestling so great, is that, you know, like, yes, like, there's these matches and whatnot, but it's really about the storytelling. It's a drama for dudes, essentially, and I guess some girls too. And to watch it just unfold, and I'll say this, there's nothing like being there live. I would have loved to have been there, but because of the wedding and everything, it didn't work out. I would have loved to have been there and gotten to see, you know, that happened live. I was sitting there watching it, crying, you know, just watching how happy he was. Like I said, you know, like, you know, I went to his gym, you know, last year, hoping that he would be there, but not knowing, and then he was, and then I don't want to bother him, and then, you know, the girl that worked there insisted on introducing me to him, and, you know, he took time to talk to me, and just a great fucking guy, man. Like, you know, so it couldn't have happened to a better guy, you know, just seeing him so happy, being there with his family, and it's very inspiring, you know, to someone like myself whose story, you know, is still being written, and who has an idea of how the story wants to be finished. But I don't know, you know, how long it's going to take, or how it's going to look. I mean, you just got to keep plugging away and just see what happens. But, you know, I was very pleased with the results of that match. If you pay attention, you know, the Intercontinental title match was good. You know, Gunther was the longest reigning international or intercontinental champion in WWE history, and they finally had him drop the title to Sami Zayn, who, you know, was also part of this story with Cody and the Bloodline, and just this whole thing, like, great storytelling. Again, new tag team champions got crowned, new women's champion got crowned. You know, Seth Rollins dropped his title, and then the guy that beat him, Drew McIntyre, lost the title like 5 minutes later because of the money. It's just like, it was so eventful, dude. Like, I'm telling you guys, if you don't watch wrestling right now, you're missing it, because wrestling right now is as good or better than it's ever been. And, you know, they talk about it, but you look at the box office, you look at ratings, like, everything is higher than it's ever been. So we are in a golden age for wrestling right now, and it's just fun to be part of as a fan. And then last weekend, you know, AEW had their pay-per-view, Dynasty, which I didn't get to see in real time because I was at the Pop 2000, but I got to watch it. And same thing, they just left us like these great, fun matches with these stories being told, with, you know, they crowned a new champion, you know, Swerve Strickland, who's the first black champion in AEW history. And the Young Bucks, who, you know, Rancho Cucamonga's own Young Bucks, won the tag team titles in this crazy match. And, like, that was also part of a story. It's just, I fucking love it, dude. You know, and guys are getting hurt, you know. So they kind of have, and that's the thing, dude. Like, because wrestling, even though it's fake, you know, these guys are really doing these stunts. So you have these guys that, like, are getting hurt in the ring or whatever. And then they kind of have to get written off of TV for a while. And then so they have to change what their idea for the script was. And, you know, television shows don't do that. Like, their scripts are there. But in wrestling, like, you might have a script that you're going with. And then, like I said, if someone gets hurt or something happens, you kind of got to change that script. And sometimes they do it in real time. Like, sometimes they're there at the event live, and the crowd is into it so much one way or another that they kind of have to change direction that way. Like, so it's just a great time. I'm excited. There's a big pay-per-view AEW next month in Vegas that we're going to go to, Double or Nothing. And it's just, like I said, it's just an exciting time to be a wrestling fan. So I appreciate you guys putting up with me talking about it. I keep reaching out to wrestlers, trying to get them on the podcast. Not a lot of people seem to be interested, but, you know, that is what it is. I love it, dude. Everything, just like I said, there's just so many cool things going on right now. And I'm really glad that you guys are here for the experience, for the journey, for all of this stuff. Like I said, I'm gonna be in. That's it. Yeah, we're done. I'm gonna be in Tucson next week at Laughs Comedy Club, and then the following week I'll be at Comedy Heights in San Diego. So, if you're in any of those places, come check out a comedy show. Like the podcast on Apple, like, share, subscribe, all those things. This has been the Camera Adds 10 Pounds, and I will see you guys next week.